To the water board meeting. We'll go ahead and call it to order. And the first item of business is to approve the minutes of February 26, 2026. Any comments on the minutes, corrections?
I move we approve them. I
have a motion.
I second it.
Okay, have a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. All right. Is there, where we start, everybody know, I don't know if we've been introduced.
He was the last meeting.
Yeah, I was here last.
Joey Church.
Joey Church.
We got sworn in last time.
He's your cousin.
He's our cousin. You're my cousin.
I'm my cousin.
I've got nothing.
I missed last meeting. Is there any way he could introduce himself?
Sure. I'm your cousin.
He's related to everybody.
Okay, then.
I was going to say there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that are all got a common ancestor. Okay, are you new on the water board then?
You've been appointed. Yes, yeah, right? Yeah, I got sworn in.
Okay.
Last
time. That's what I thought.
You got sworn in.
John graduated.
Yeah, it's in the minutes.
John went to city council, so we had to replace him with.
Okay. So, John, are you just going to be attending these?
With
the city council hat on?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I'm just a citizen.
Oh, okay. Well, no, you're a city councilman if you're here.
Okay.
Representing citizens.
He's there watching over us.
The city council hat. So good.
I'm curious how we're doing in the drought. So,
yeah, nice to have you here. All right, go ahead and with the first item is water purchases. Kyle.
Okay. Pass over around this. What you'll get. We just sent these out yesterday. This is the secondary water shares. We did have Troy Stevens there that said at one time years ago that he was wanting to sell. I contacted him. He hasn't decided he wanted to lately. But everybody else listed under Troy Stevens not selling unpaid. Those are people that are past due on their water assessment. There's $3,000 out there. By the end of the, we have to give them, as per the code, we have to give them 180 days or 6 months notice to get that in compliance. That comes up to be about the first of the year. In July or January, we'll have this list. It'll probably be down to 2 or 3, maybe. A lot of times what happens is people sell their house or for whatever reason they've moved, and they just assume that the water goes with the house, and it doesn't. It's its own separate thing, and so we contact them, and if we can't contact them, then the city takes it back.
So
we took 3 people's back last year.
8838 represents how much?
8838, what are you looking at?
The balance due. Is that for an eighth of a share?
That's most of those are quarter shares.
Quarter.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you,
and how
we
much?
Don't send out, if it's lower than $5, we don't put them on the list. It's usually because they.
And how much do you need for a typical lot?
Quarter share has basically been water, but that's good. That's way more water than for a quarter acre lot. That's just what it has been from flood irrigating days.
Okay.
The second page is just money that water that we've purchased over the last 6 years, 5 years. We've accumulated 45.34 shares of water from people. We paid $2,000 a share. We haven't had anybody since 4/23/25. Some Lawrence and Zelda Stott, so it was a quarter share. And by code, we pay them $2,000. So this list is long, but that's because we sent it out yesterday. Don't get too alarmed. I'm sure 98% of them will pay it. There'll be fees charged. This is the first notice that, besides the regular bill, that we'll give them 180 days. A lot of these people are on there every year.
And this list is for, not for public?
Yeah, it's
use.
Just for our
yeah.
use right there. Anyway, every meeting I'll bring this list to you and you'll see. Back down. I don't have anything else.
Is the city wanting to buy more shares of water? If
anybody has water, we'll buy $2,000 a share.
That's not negotiable, right? Because there's a code.
We can negotiate, but it goes down.
Okay.
Don't do any higher than that.
I figured.
Okay. But we will take it for less. I'll even break the code on that.
It goes one way. Yeah. It's like a check valve.
No higher than 2,000. Okay.
Item B, Virgin River Distribution System. Water users meeting, Mayor.
I actually reported on that last meeting because we had had the meeting and they just said that it's going to be a tough water year off the river, and I don't know if they've made a call on the river right now or not, but I don't expect they will.
If they do, you will get, because you're on that committee, you'll get notified.
Yeah. So, but they were expecting that there'd probably be a call on the river, and when they made the call, they would go to
1900 or so. We're 18-1.
We're 1880-something or something.
If we
ever get called on, we're the last one.
I was going to say, if we ever get called, we're in trouble.
We only have, I think, 1,600 and something acre feet in the 1800s, and the rest of it is 900 something acre feet in the 1900s. So if they called beyond 1900, then we would actually lose probably around 900 acre feet that we couldn't take. But we can still take the 1660.
So say that again, we have
1600 something acre feet is in the 1800s, which is good. And we only use roughly
about that, right?
About between 1600 and 1900 acre feet a year anyway. So.
And then 900 acre feet is in the
1900,
yeah. You know, I thought all of it was in the 18.
When they did that re-adjudication and we lost rights, well, when I say we, this canal company, years ago, what years did they, do you know?
I don't. Anybody know when they re-adjudicated it?
Yeah. I was just wondering, if you lose rights, did they pull them off the
top end or the bottom end?
Yeah.
That I don't know. I don't know.
But. Okay. That's good.
I think there's three people ahead of us, and they're very small and individual people. As far as municipalities go, we're the first in the first.
I can send you a paper on the order.
Yeah, I'd be interested. Do you think
you can send it to Nancy? Maybe she can send it to us.
As a board, we are part of this jurisdiction.
It's the water district. I'm pretty cool. I'm not sure, but
let's keep it so full. Let's keep it full. It's full.
It is full. Yeah.
Just talking about co-op, it's pretty full. Seems like it should be down.
It will be.
They'll
be drawn.
It'll be coming.
Yeah.
They just haven't drawn yet. Is that why?
I don't know.
Yeah, they'll draw it down before winter.
So they're just waiting.
They'll leave it up there as long as they can, so it doesn't evaporate as much up there. And with the Crystal Creek pipeline, they can fill that up every year now.
Have they talked about raising the co-op?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are they looking at doing that?
I haven't heard on the actual date, but I know it's in their engineering.
They've got that far along. I think it's a matter of they're going to do it, not
so
just when.
Make the dam bigger, taller. So
taller, yeah. Go ahead. A bit of water.
I think they had to contact some private property owners up there, too, because it's going to encroach upon their private property, but I don't think anybody was opposed to what they were doing.
Probably move the road and some other things,
right.
And there are some. Yeah.
Something like that. They require an environmental impact study. Extends your project sometime 24 months just because.
But being that it's all private, we didn't have to have an environmental impact study on Crystal Creek Pipeline. So raising COLOB, I doubt it. The only thing they'll have to do some type of study or something on is maybe release or something that may affect the park. No.
It's all on private property? Okay.
Which makes it an easy project.
And they'd have to buy that property from the owners?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I did when I was the property guy. I had to go talk to all those ranchers and sheep herder guys up there, and to do Crystal Creek Pipeline, what did we go through, like 20-something properties, and none of them wanted it. That was my first year getting broken in. Barbara and Ron sat around the table and said, "Doug, we want you to build a Crystal Creek Pipeline." And they both kind of looked at each other and smiled and said, "First thing we want you to do is go get up there and get all those easements."
And then they pushed you out the door and locked it when you
opened it. Pretty much. Yeah, 6 months later, we were in construction. So,
well, those owners are going to up the price of value of that property around there. So.
Yeah, we paid good for those easements and did a lot of side deals, but we got it. All right. Mayor, you want to report on anything else?
Right now, this year, as far as the water district is concerned, I think we're in pretty good shape because the reservoirs were full. It's pretty close to full at the beginning of the year, but it's the biggest concern is going to be next year if we have another winter like we had. Because there was no water to come down the river as far as going out to speak of. So it's... Unless we get a decent winter, it's going to be tough for next year. That's what to expect. Looking at right now.
Okay.
There will be some water restrictions, but as far as the Leverkin, they did talk about it in one of the meetings. They said, "What are you going to do?" Talking to the mayors about when we tell all the citizens their lawns are going to have to turn brown. And I just told them our lawns are going to be green because we have better water rights than the rest of them. So.
And we're contractually obligated.
That's what I said. We're contractually obligated to do the water. So, and they know it. So.
Okay. Any further discussion on any of that? Okay. Item C, Derek. And D. Animal bowl.
District management.
That's the projects, both for culinary and irrigation.
So the pond project, would be bringing the reuse water from the reuse plant to the 7.5 million gallon pond up here. And the bid date ends on the 30th of this month. It'll be open on the 1st of July, with the anticipated start time of the project to be the middle of August to the 1st of September, more likely the 1st of September. And it's a 180-day project, so it'll be running brand new lines from Ash Creek facility up, I think it's 370 in Riverwood Estates, and it's going to bore underneath 17 right there at
740,
and then we'll fall 740 up to where the pond's going to be put into place. So we're anticipating a lot of excited people while we're under construction.
That'll be an 18-inch line from the treatment plant up to the pond.
If you've driven anywhere in Washington County in the last 10 minutes, you've driven over construction. I don't care what town you're in or anything else, there's construction everywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know what difference it'll make if it's going to be in our town or not.
Then we're going to run an 18 and a 24-inch line out of the pond down to Main Street. 18 in Main Street.
Aren't they going to come down and go up Main and tie into that main?
Yeah, that will come all the way here. The bore under here, and then they'll separate our lines out because we combine just before we cross under 9 right now. so we share a line, so they'll come in, and that's part of that pond project, is that too, so that we'll have two separate lines. So eventually they're going to get to the point where, you know, we're going to still have to offset a lot of our water with the Virgin River water until the treatment plant's, you know, up and producing the, you know, the anticipated amount of water, which I think was about 500,000 gallons a day is they were assuming.
Aren't they up and running?
They're up and running now.
That water's going to the Confluence Park right now. I looked at the meter when we went through it. It looked like it was 500 gallons a minute that's going on the Confluence Park, and then they're still supplementing some of our water, irrigation water for that too. It's not quite enough for what they're doing, but they're getting by. Yeah.
They're watering those pastures down there now, or are they just going to?
They are watering them.
Flood irrigating them?
That
system they put
in? I think, it is a flood irrigation system. So it's
a horrible flood irrigation system.
Yeah, they screwed up on that.
So that will be, you know, and then the potential here, and then they'll have the ability to bring water from Chief Toker or take water from here and put into Chief Toker. So there will be a lot of viable ability to bring water in and keep that.
So we could actually have four sources: Springs, Chief Toker, Reuse, and Virgin River.
Well, for secondary.
Yeah. Pretty good system.
Plus, you know, you're going to get the settling pond that we've always wanted. You're going to get, you still have petitulates that you're going to deal with. You know, it's not going to be, you know, just this pure drinking water, but it's not going to have the dirt, the color. We're not going to be affected by the storms above us, not getting the Oroville mud down here. And so, should be a lot more reliable system, and one that people will hopefully want to take advantage of now that they know that it's not going to color their house or their lawn or their whatever it is. So
the downside to getting that good water is the state will put pressure on foot meters, and that'll come. We can hold them off as long as we can, but eventually they'll
still not good enough water for meters.
Well, I know that, but I know what they'll try and do to us.
And that's what you guys, we are having to approve every year through this committee now. You guys just did it, I think. So that we can keep that exception going, which we have to apply for every year and stuff. So the state's definitely not making it easy for us to keep that exemption. Makes us jump through a lot more paperwork and regulations. But so that's the pond project.
So back on the pond project, you said it's you've had your pre-bid meeting.
They had a pre-bid meeting, and the bids are going to be turned on the 30th. So that'd be Tuesday.
Okay.
The bid opening will be July 1st.
Where are they doing that? Are they going to do it?
Down at Island.
How many were at the pre-bid?
There were probably, between staff and everybody else, accounted about 32 people.
32. How many companies represented?
I think there were eight. Was there?
Yeah.
Some of them I didn't recognize. I haven't seen them before.
It's a big enough project. It's going to be hopefully convincing. Mm-hmm.
Some of the contractors that were there were good-sized contractors. They all can do the jobs.
Interstate?
Yeah, I know they were looking at it pretty hard because it's on their property.
Yeah, I mean, it's on their property. They got all their machinery there. Mobilization is going to be pretty minimum for them.
So. But they had people from Salt Lake. And
yeah.
It was probably one of the better turnouts that we've had on a big project. So.
Well, and then the city's going to back up on top of that, too, and when our lead and copper comes out, we'll put it out to bid, which is a whole other thing, and hopefully that'll entice someone that maybe gets the bid awarded to them.
Mm-hmm.
They can do it in conjunction with that other project.
I wasn't there, but there was Sunrock, Condi, Whitaker, Interstate, JP, and Royalty, and there might have been a couple others.
Those are all reputable.
There were a couple there I'd never seen.
Yeah, I can't remember the names. Condi doesn't do a lot of work down here, but they're
from. What's the engineer estimate cost?
I don't know. It's all handled through the district. The water district's taken care of everything.
Oh, so you don't know what the cost, engineer's estimate cost was?
I think we're thinking around $7 million.
Seven? So it's not a real big. I mean, it's pretty good size, but not.
I could be wrong on that, too. You know, I don't know. I thought the overall thing that I was thinking about 21 million, so it might have been 8 million or so with
both projects.
Both projects.
So,
both projects, I think, are on.
So, that would be different. Water districts taking care of all the project management and everything and the bidding and all
on
that.
On this section, yes.
Okay. On the pond. Okay. That's good. Are they paying for it too?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's part of the reuse, the overall reuse plan for the county. This is the first part of that that they're going to build.
They're going to put a demonstration deal down there too.
Yeah.
On that road going into Cottonwood Hall.
Yeah. And they'll do
like up front.
They'll do a little demonstration plant for advanced treatment, so you treat it for drinking water, you can get your water wells filled and drink the sewer water.
They're going to have any kind of garden, like they're demonstrating similar to
the desert. It's going to be similar to what you guys did up there.
There it is. Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be quite that big, but their plans say that's what they're going to do.
That'll be nice.
That'll be another section of, that's not part of this project, though.
And then secondary water project, we are planning on that starting, bidding that out in September, the end of September, so that we can start the project the first day our irrigation water is off, which
November
15th. That's an 18-month estimated project, so that will take us through 2 years.
We'll have a couple of years of good driving. John, you got four-wheel driving that new truck, don't you? Make sure.
So
you may need to get out of the house.
The plan is to minimize the amount of disruption to the system, put the new system in, and then as we can, we'll start tying in sections at a time to minimize the amount of outages so that we don't cause a lot of undue grief.
We're trying to time this so while it's in the winter, we're during that non-use.
Start in the winter.
Yeah, start in two winters. Really,
but it's,
but
yes.
We're not going to get around that once.
So this project, what this project does is upgrades the irrigation system.
It brings all the lines out of the backyard.
Into the streets.
Yep. And that's, right now we sent out 500, just under 600 letters to all those people that are going to have their connections taken from the back to the front, giving them the ability to show, because usually our standards say that we put our irrigation connection within 3 feet of the water meter, one side or the other, but we're giving them the opportunity to put the connection where it would best be for them to make the connection into the back. Because sometimes you pour concrete or driveway over, you know, your water meter, and that's just not going to work. So there was a paper that was sent out. If you want, if it's good where it is, sign it, turn it in, and if not, mark it how you want it, and then sign it and turn it in. Kyle's been doing a phenomenal job on answering. That's Kyle Floodlady on answering, because people still are confused by what it is. So we've been getting a really good return back on our paper so that we can update the plans, you know, make the plans more realistic. We also have letters going out for the lead and copper, because we have to get permission to go on people's property, because the lead and copper has to take it from, we have to go from our main line, we're moving our main lines and stoles out of the alleys into the street, and then we have to take the line and run it into the house. So before, we were only responsible from our line to the yoke, right? Now they make us responsible from the yoke to the people's house. So we have to get them to sign a letter that we can come on the property, and because it's going to be outside, most of the time it's going to be outside of our utility easements.
When did this change?
This is all part of that federal EPA requirement.
Yeah, that lead copper replacement.
Well, the city is now responsible. They're up to that.
Under this or
under this one?
Under this.
What's that?
And we have
to
mandate it, and then give us any money. Well, they gave us 70% of the money after we told them we needed it. It was supposed to be, we thought it was getting all of it.
So that, the other project that will probably be going in between the pond project and the secondary project. So we're going to be under a lot of construction.
That secondary project was for 13 point something, 16, what was it, million?
13 something.
13 something.
13, 6.
Something like that.
Yep. And we have the, we have, when they do the bid on that, will we have a line item bid, like a schedule, so
yeah,
that we can continue to add until we hit our 13?
Yeah, yeah, they will be completely tracked by our engineers.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a line item, then they'll just completely. Right now, this, and I'm probably going to jinx this, right now, we're underneath the 13. Something million. Right now, so.
You found several things where you could save a lot of money,
yeah,
by some of the things you're doing. So.
Yeah, so we're trending right. Now that I said that,
way to go.
I'm not going to be that way anymore.
So on the bid documents, when we hit a lot of these type of projects with the district, especially the bigger ones, we would always require the contractor or those who did the bid to sign an affidavit basically that warranted or guaranteed that they had reviewed the plans, that they would take responsibility for any issues they may have missed, and that they would cover those costs without requiring a change order. Change order, if especially to get a certain contractor that's really skilled at doing change orders and they have a really good person that knows how to come in and argue, and next thing you know, your project's half the size or three quarters of what you thought it was. So we got so tired of that at the district because, you know, Barb and Ron, both attorneys, came in and said, well, how are we going to fix this? And so we came up with that legal document. I would recommend that we do something similar so that we don't have our project minimized in its scope based upon change orders or a company that comes in that's not qualified to really do the work and they find themselves in a mess or whatever. Of course, we need to 100% require bonding, but you don't want to have to call that bond. And so, you know, you're doing your best to be able to help these guys out. Next thing you know, change orders are out the roof, and our project never hit the scope of what we had planned. Worst case scenario, we had it happen on the wet sandy, and we ended up having to call the bond and to finish that thing because they had bid so low, they didn't. You know how many rocks are between here and the head gate of Wet Sandy? I mean, more rocks than people on Earth, I think. But I just think we need to be very careful. I know our engineers are probably skilled in all of that.
Well, I can follow up with them to see if that's a provision.
Yeah, we have to look at what the water district's doing to prevent change orders. If they still do that, I don't know what they call it. It was some type of a... I should know. We used it for the last 5 years. I
was like to have Blaine follow up with Trinity. With Trinity.
Yeah, it's basically they warrant
that.
So they basically say, I looked at the plans. I know what the issues are. I'll take all responsibility, and this bid is final for doing all of this. And the only change orders that will happen is if we ask them, if we say, hey, we want, while you're doing this, let's throw this line over here. And then at that point, you have unit costs, so that you keep the unit costs the same. You know, just a couple hints, things, you know, I learned after 15 years of doing projects for the district.
I'll follow up that point.
That's what they did with this sewer plant down here, is that they finally came up with a final, even though it was a construction management plan, they came up with a final number in the end. They said, this is it. Anything beyond that, they had to cover. Unless there was an addition that
they asked for.
Added to it,
yeah.
Which there was, and that was the pump station for the water district. Nobody has repaid for that, but that was an add-on to what they originally bid. So once they gave us that final number of 39 million something, whatever, that was it.
Anyway, just some just something we should look at if they're not doing it. It'd be nice. I wouldn't mind seeing the final bid documents on that and the packet, whatever they send out, see if they have
that. Yeah, see, we make sure I get that.
Some change order guidelines. Maybe some change order guidelines defining, you know, limitations on.
Yeah, well, it's almost like there is no change orders, guys.
But if
you hit Labrador and you didn't see
that. Ask for a change order, if these are.
Yeah. You know, yeah, change orders. Well, usually that's all part of the bid documents. If there is a change order, then it's usually because, you know, the city wants the change order. But for them to come up with a change order would be.
And you did it stipulate in there too that their prices can't increase or labor or anything like that if there's a change order, so that there is that what you said, the unit costs stay the same?
Yeah, unit costs have to stay the same. So that's why you
that they can't make money off. Yeah, there's something that we
just as a supplier side. Yeah, you need to put in there that they can buy the materials up front and pay for them, because those material costs will last for about 30 days, and that's it. And if there is a huge increase, there's nothing you can do about it. And so that's something that if they can't buy all the materials up front and pay for them, then that's going to be a very difficult type of thing, because you're going to buy a lot of pipe and it's going to sit on the ground for a while, and they need to cover it for the summer. So done the bake and then but it needs to be paid for up front too, because as a supplier you got 30 days to pay your bills and that's it. If you don't pay your pipe bill in 30 days, you won't get any pipe ever.
You never know one another.
Just to go
and they do that, they're not going down really. Well, take that back, because pipe prices have dropped since COVID, so they are.
Did they shoot up during the war?
You know what?
Petroleum prices shooting up. Did the price of pipe go up too?
Well, PVC pipe is made from natural gas byproduct, not petroleum. So, but every time something happens, they think of an excuse to raise the price. So,
okay. They still fix logistics.
It goes up a lot quicker than it comes down.
Yeah, it's difficult. Just to give you an example, 8-inch C900 pipe went up to $24 a foot during COVID.
For what size?
Huh?
What size?
8-inch.
8-inch?
That's the
C900?
That's the most popular size, you know. And so, and it's down to 16, 17 dollars a foot now compared to. And it goes up and down.
Somebody like Interstate Rock gets that, they'd have a place to put that stuff too.
Do it.
Place to store it and they buy all of it.
And they'd have to have a secure spot for it and be responsible for it. So. But that really needs to be in the documents.
Yeah, that's so what it is in the documents.
That they can buy it up front and pay for it?
Oh, no. I was thinking as far as storage.
That's something that you probably ought to do, because that makes it really hard on the contractor, because they bid their price and they're with that, and if, you know, you can only guarantee a bid for sometimes 15 days or 30
days. It's nice to have in the documents staging area outlined with a map, so they know where they can stage, and the city provide that if we have any property.
We've done that before for other projects, but it's kind of hard to.
We may not have enough property for this bigger project.
But I did note that, Mayor, both of the Doug's question and yours as far as persisting at that front, I'll cover that with one.
So, back on the bids, so often we called it, you know, just a rock clause, because what happens if we hit rock and next thing you know, prices, you know, skyrocket. And so we would take out any kind of rock clause, basically. You hit rock, that's your fault. You need to go do your test pits now. Or we would go out and do test pits just to make sure. Rock clause is just kind of a a blanket term for anything that might come and be even bigger than that. You know, for example, oh, we didn't realize there's a fiber optic cable going here. Well, that should have been your due diligence before the fact. And somehow you got to just make them responsible that they're not just throwing a bit out there hoping they'll get it, make it up and change orders. Because we've seen a lot of that. Pipeline from Quail to the water treatment plant ended up being double what was bid. And at the end, Ron and the contractor owner basically arm wrestled for about an hour over the table and split it in half, and we lost, they lost. I mean, it was just because they didn't manage, they didn't bid it very good, but I think in the long run we ended up, it came in about the price what everybody else was bidding, but they had come in so low, but they got the job, but then they ended up, you know, I think they still ended up losing money, but we just want to avoid all those nightmares, and you may even want to do some type of pre-qualification of contractors. You don't get someone in there that doesn't know what they're doing, because these type of projects, you know, you might get, I don't know. Well, first of all, you're going to eliminate a lot of people if you require the bond up front, and not everybody can bond for 13 something millions.
Yeah.
That'll eliminate most. So.
I'll get hold of them and talk through this process.
Probably going to have the same group of contractors bidding on the side of them. So they're all capable of doing the job. And most of them from here, so they know the terrain.
And digging in town here, there's not that many places where you're going to run into. What about inspector? Who's going to inspect?
We're still negotiating because we're trying to save some money, but I don't want to save some money that's going to tie up the crew unneeded. So we may split inspections between us and Sunrise. But if all these projects start coming online,
You might be able to hire a part-time person, someone that's retired, you know, like myself, wouldn't have to be, you know, that could do it for $20 an hour or 30 or something, where Sunrise is going to cost you about $150 an hour or something.
And I haven't looked at that portion of, we haven't got to that portion of the thing yet, so I know that's been, because we're going to have to go out and GPS. I'm trying to make it mandatory that the contractor GPS everything in, and it has to be GPS in the format that we have, so that it can be put into our system right now and not have us do it. But we didn't have that spelled out very well in our current standards. Our new standards are going to come online shortly. How's that spelled out? So that might be something that we're going to have to be out there to GPS, because right now, while it's open trench, now it's the best time to get that information shot in. So we build a very, very good utility system that we go out, we shoot it in, it updates itself, we take pictures, so we know what we're looking at if we ever have to dig in that area again. So the future for Laverkin's great with the systems that we have in place right now. But here's another little kicker, just a side note from all this other happy stuff that we've been talking about. So I don't know if you noticed, I know you guys have over your neck of the woods, the fiber optics. CenturyLink, isn't it?
Well, CenturyLink is who they say, but InfoWeb is who we've got the
contract with. So they're going to be bringing in high-speed internet, and right now they are nestling in everybody's backyards where they're going to put junction boxes and things like that. And so we now know that we thought we had a pretty good idea on our irrigation system, that over in physically, we have no idea what's going on. And so far, they've missiled into an 8-inch line that we're out there rectifying property damage that we've been on for the last couple of days. And then just before we got ready to turn the water back on, they hit another line over by you guys somewhere.
They had a trench or?
I was out on my front lawn.
Front
yard.
That far away from your house.
Yeah.
So
as long as he stays that far away, not this far away.
So what I'm saying is, anticipate that we're going to be spending, this is about a year-long project, that we're going to be spending a lot of time following them around. And hopefully as we get into the newer sections of the town, it's not going to be a big thing because we're not going to have a lot of crap in the backyard that we do here. But Pheasant Glen and the older parts of town, it's a crapshoot right now.
So this fiber optics is going in the backyard?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Not in mine. It's not. They're not. They won't let them.
Well, you got a utility easement, though. So
that may not be allowed.
So they're probably following.
It might not even be in your backyard. It's not in everybody's backyard, but they're going to put pedestals to where they can. Apparently, they're going to. If you want the high speed internet, you're going to have to trench from the box to the house. And
been there, done that. It's already done at my house years ago.
Yeah, this is a whole different high-speed internet. This is not what we normally have been having, like with cable and InfoWest and all that crap. So this is something that they can do through the utility easements, which is it's probably something that's needed. It's just a bad deal for the city to have to get involved in a lot of disputes, and especially when they're not. Can't speak a lot of English.
That's what Clay said. What Clay said. This homeowner came up there screaming at him and screaming at these guys, and they didn't make any difference. They didn't understand what he said.
Well, we had to have cops go out when they hit that line. It got pretty intense.
And Clay said the poor worker, they didn't understand what that guy was saying was over there screaming at him.
Yeah. So irrigation may be interrupted.
So it's still off.
We were turning it on this morning until it hit the other line. But we're going to get it fixed today.
Is it not the whole system not turned off, just certain areas?
Yeah, just.
Okay. I think you'd know better than to shut off the mayor's water.
Because I was thinking that I had water in my bathroom.
Across the street from him.
Well, there's a lot of pressure from the mayor to get that thing up and going. And so we spent a lot of time.
Back on inspections. We saw a lot of contractors, you turn their head and they just push anything right into the hole on the top of that pipe. And
Kyle is extremely good, and he makes them dig it back up. He doesn't settle. You know the kid? Great kid. Very positive, he does what's best for Leverkin, and he tells them right in front, you cover it, you're going to unbury it. And he makes them do it.
Yeah, you got to be tough.
You won't put up with any crap, so.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure we ensure that we don't have to be back in there digging again and fixing something. Not saying stuff doesn't happen, right? Regardless of how
it does. Yeah.
Well you inspect, stuff happens. But
you know, when you bury your own line, how careful you are to bed it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I've had things break thinking, did everything right.
Yeah, then contractors come in and ignore all that. So, but have really good specs and standards on your compaction and all that.
Do these fiber companies reimburse for any of the damage?
They're supposed to go, right now the contract says that they're supposed to do the repairs and stuff like that. But these two situations are not typical situations, especially when you hit an Asian client. And it's Price chicken coop and his shed and everything is in our utility easement, which according to our code, if you're in our utility easement, we have to come and fix something. We can move anything we need to that's in the road, and it's on you to put it back. That's always a fun one to talk with the customer about. But this guy's been, after we got past the police thing with him, doing some tidying up for him, bringing in some rock and doing some things to help him out a little bit. And I think we got that resolved as best as we should. Stuff, but yeah, and these guys have been good. They have a manager that speaks English, and then they have another manager that speaks Spanish. And they go around, and they're the ones that are talking with the people because they're putting out door hangers and notifying people of what's going on. We're going to get a plan from them in areas that they're anticipating being in. We're going to notify that out. So if you guys pick up, your current information with the city, that would be something that would come to you and say, hey, this is, anticipate they may be in this area doing this. But they're good at getting, they're sending four or five guys over there right now helping us with the shovel work. And, so we're just basically using our equipment and bringing in sand and things like that. But they've been really good working with us and trying to do everything can to mitigate. Because they don't want it either, you know. They just want to get through it and move on. So anyway, just going to be an interesting summer. Actually, interesting 2 years.
Any other comments? Derek, anything else on projects?
One other thing, the filter station, we're down to one filter. So hopefully we're getting the parts here soon so that we can try.
Is that because the water is such good quality? Or because
no, it's because our system's antedated, not it's old, and we can't really get a lot of parts anymore for it. And so we're hoping that we can get this year and next year out of it. So right now we're operating one of the three. So we got two and three are out. So wait for parts to come with that. We just got a lot of weird things happening right now. We have a skate system that usually alerts us of all, like, you know, if tanks get high, tanks get low, tanks overflow, filter station's not operating right. Well, the new government guidelines from the federal and the state, we were piggybacking off of the conservancy districts. SCADA system, they got in trouble. So we are cut off from all of our alarms. And so we have a guy coming in that we started last year to come onto our own system. So we have to expedite that. So we're running tanks manually right now. It's been a hard couple of weeks.
What happened? Who said we couldn't use the
federal government? Because it's protected security information on water systems and information.
And they didn't want, we couldn't work with the water district on the SCADA.
No, so we're cut off. We can still use their components to relay to our system, but we can't use them anymore.
So is Mark or the district going to help set that up at all?
No. We paid last year to have a guy do it, and he was getting all the parts at the end of last year's budget. So he's in there now bringing us back online. We're probably months out. We didn't anticipate getting shut off, I guess. You know, it's huge when you get those alarms and you can get up there and get it fixed before, you know, our lower tank overflowed last week and had a lot of erosion problems up there. And we had altitude valves fell, and, you know, it's just been a cluster of, it's kind of like what could happen, happened. But anyway, there's the good feel for the system. There you go.
Anything more comment on any of the projects or anything? I want to comment on meters. It seems like when we put meters in Tolbertville, we got a grant for most of that.
They offered a grant from the state, but we'd have to do it when they did it, but it wasn't all a complete grant. What was it, 7%? Still would have been money to pass on to the users, and that grant putting meter in doesn't do you any good. Tocqueville's got the advantage of having basically culinary water going through their meters. Yeah. It's not like that here. And so, and like the mayor said, even when we put the settling pond in, it's still not going to, if you had a catastrophic situation where a lot of meters failed, the meter company would pull that guarantee and say, it's not warranted, and so you'll end up paying for it anyway. And that's a lot of money per person that's got a connection. So, but I think they'll eventually pressure us into doing it, but it's a few years away.
So this new project sets us up to accept the meter by having the yoke in there already with an idler.
Yeah, everything will have.
They'll save a lot.
That'll save a lot of money.
So it's
because people will be meter ready. But
and why they came down my neighborhood 300 West years ago, why we're meter ready there now when they put the system in there.
We've been doing that for a few years. You know, so anybody puts a system in it.
So
they put the stuff in to accept a meter.
So some of the city's already that way. So we just have to make the rest of the city that way as we go along then.
They haven't come up with a little 1-inch, 3/4, or 5/8, or what's the smallest irrigation?
A 5/8, 3/4 meter is what Just the smallest one.
Yeah, they haven't come up with a little mag meter for not a dirty water yet.
They have a meter that doesn't have anything inside of it. It just meters it, it goes through, but it, even with that, they won't warranty a meter. It's got dirty water in it. So they'll only warranty culinary grade water. And all of these people that have been putting in their irrigation meters up north have no warranty on them. Even though they think they might, they don't. Hmm. I've read all of the meter warranties, and it's pretty specific. That
one of the reasons we use impact heads, because it blows all that junk out in the pasture and doesn't mess up your lines anymore. That's why you use a 3/4 inch impact head, because all that stuff that ruins a meter goes out in the pasture.
Well, we've got a few test meters in, and they worked, but they're still under warranty.
And we're still under our right, right? Water right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I think if we start exceeding it, then we'd look hard at that. But okay, number four, public concerns for board consideration, identification of issues for consideration of future meetings. Anything?
It's public.
In this $13 million, is there anything budgeted to extend our lines to users that don't currently have irrigation?
I think it's just replacement we got, isn't it?
Well, if there are properties that don't have it that are within the work area, we are putting but not going out outside,
not going beyond the current scope.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like there's a lot of people that have multi lots that they've kind of got their stuff scattered on, that we'll put individual, you know, things there and try to get out of there, but we won't go outside the scope.
Anything new construction in town, the developer has to put the wires in.
Yeah, like Collin Hall is completely all
So where we're upgrading the system, going down neighborhoods like mine that didn't have meter setters that didn't have water to the property line. For example, Mrs. White down the street from me, her water comes in the back of the pasture, mm-hmm. but she's got a box in front. Mm-hmm. So when you do projects like that, well, everybody gets a box in their yard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We just won't skip and go over, you know, outside the project boundaries and try to put something that's way down here, because that cost would get too much. So we're just sticking to whatever properties can have one, we're giving them one.
It's inside the scope of the project.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's mainly to get you the line down in people's backyards. And
yeah.
Because as the town grows and fills in, you can't get in to fix those lines so without just a shell, picking the shell.
Okay. St. George City has a lot of their overhead power lines on property lines. And when I worked there, well, I was talking to some guy from the power, and they said it's a pain in the neck to go back in somebody's backyard to fix their lines. So I understand the point.
That's why everything's out in the roads now.
Yeah.
By far easier. And my irrigation at my house has been on the street side anyway, all along. Even when I had flood irrigation, my turn on was on the street to my property, so I didn't like I. But the Ashman pasture bus south that I have leased, the line comes down 160 west and across that under by that new storage project and onto that property line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a pain in the neck.
Yeah, that's all going away. So
it's a pain in the neck. And so
yeah.
Okay. Item 5, board member concerns.
There's a chance to talk. Did you want me to bring up your golfing experience, or
is that a concern for the board member?
No, it's just information that the specialist has.
The question.
How well you.
The question I have is, what time's the tea time today?
2.
2 o'clock.
Yes. He's buying.
That's why we invite you guys, because you buy.
You play as whoever loses buys the next game.
No,
they weren't there, so it's free for them.
You know, want me to tell you something? Tell me something about these two boys. Two boys, you can tell they went to Hurricane High School because they can't count.
That's why I keep score.
That's right. That's right.
Poor scorekeeper that can't win.
His grandson. I told his grandson that one day. He was golfing with his grandson. I said, "No, your grandpa can't count." He said, "Yeah, we know. Can we lose to him every day? Every time we play."
He always wins. That's a good one.
One request I have is on like a lot of these bid documents and plans and for some of these projects. If I could just be put on the email list, I don't know if any other board member would like to see that kind of information. I mean, my board is it up, but I'd just love to see what's going on.
Okay.
I will come in and try to tell you what to do, I promise.
Please.
You can put me on it too, Nancy.
Okay.
It is boring, but it's interesting.
You might have to.
Yeah.
You want to see it? Mary, you already see it, right? So,
yeah.
Chris,
yeah.
Do you want to see that type of information?
What information?
Like on projects and the bid documents and all that kind of stuff.
That'd be fine.
Good information.
Anything to do with water projects. It'd be nice if the water board was in the loop on all that. So. Next meeting?
When is that?
September.
September,
just before the water goes out, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
September something.
September. You want to set it now?
It's already set.
It's already been set. I just can't remember the date.
We just don't have it.
I thought I had it on my...
We have to have all our public meetings. Hope to set and post the year.
Oh, before they even advertise them.
It's water. It's October 22nd.
October 22nd?
Mm-hmm. Come dressed up. In the Halloween costume.
October 22nd, right?
October 22nd, yep.
Okay. Right in the middle of the year, huh?
It'll be on Thursday.
Might be.
Won't affect me.
What deer hunt?
Better hunt. More to hunt for.
Yeah.
Less than hunt for.
That is always good.
Same time.
I never get to dry out.
11.
I've drawn out last 2 years.
Almost every year.
I go.
All righty.
Okay.
Are we adjourned?
We adjourned.
A motion.
Motion, we're adjourned.
Okay.
Come back here.
Derek?